to Trinity Loyalty.
Thank you for joining us for worship today.
Thank you.
so that will all be happening throughout the service. We've got special worship service groups for you. O Lord, open my lips. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Our Old Testament reading this evening comes to us from the book of the prophet Hosea, chapter 2, beginning with verse 14. Therefore, behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness to speak tenderly to her. There I will give her vineyards, and make the valley of Achor a door of hope. There she shall answer as in the days of her youth, as at the time when she came out of the land of Egypt. And in that day, declares the Lord, you will call me my husband, and no longer will you call me my Baal. For I will remove the names of the Baals from her mouth. They shall be remembered by name no more. And I will make for them a covenant on that day with the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens, and the creeping things of the ground. And I will abolish the bow, the sword, and the war from the land. And I will make you lie down in safety. And I will betroth you to me forever. I will betroth you to me in righteousness, in justice, in steadfast love, and in mercy. I will betroth you to me in faithfulness, and you shall know the Lord. In that day, I will answer, the Lord. I will answer the heavens, and they shall answer the earth, and the earth shall answer the grain, the wine, and the oil. They shall answer Jezreel. I will sow her for myself. I will have mercy on nobles, and I will say to not my people, you are my people, and he shall say, you are my God. This is the word of the Lord. The purpose of reading tonight comes to us from St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 5, verse 22. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. The husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church, and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot, or wrinkle, or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. No one hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother, and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, let the wife see that she respects her husband. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And it stands in the reading of the Holy Gospel. The gospel reading tonight comes from the gospel of St. John, chapter 4, beginning of the first chapter. Now, when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, although Jesus himself did not baptize only his disciples, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee. He had to pass through Samaria. So, a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about 6 o'clock. The woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? Jesus has no gift from Samaria." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with. Well, you speak, where do you get that living water? Greater than our father Jacob. He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his son and his livestock." Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands. The one you now have is not your husband, but you have said, 'It's true.'" Many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me all that I ever did." So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them. He stayed there 2 days. Many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It's no longer because of what you said that we believe, but we have heard for ourselves. We know that this is indeed the Savior of the world." This is the word of the Lord. Sermon here tonight is number 860, "Grace to Savior, Grace to Blessing." Thank you. Sisters in Christ, this evening, I would like to give you a little bit of a window into the discipline, inviting, and caring sermons. See, when a pastor or different place sits down to write a sermon, prepare it, I'm thinking about a lot of different things. And one of those is your topic. Sermon illustration. Sermon illustration is some kind of image or metaphor that wants to take an abstract idea and make something that's not easy to understand. Good sermon illustrations are also extremely memorable. I'm wondering how many of you would be able to remember a certain sermon. And they walk with Christ way back to the beginning of November of Saints. I remember that sermon because he used the illustration of the mariachi band to show the how Christians can have hope and joy face death. Just about every single sermon you offer here, especially from this time, is going to include a good illustration. This practice of using illustrations to help communicate ideas is hardly a new thing. In fact, we see God Himself using illustrations all the time throughout Scripture, as well as the prophets and apostles. You see the prophet Isaiah, whose book we heard from tonight, includes one of the most incredible sermon illustrations ever. So let's back up a little bit before we begin to talk about Isaiah. Isaiah was a prophet who was sent by God to the northern kingdom of Israel. See, at one point in history, all of God's people, called the nation of Israel, were united under one nation ruled by a king. Saul, David, and Solomon. After Solomon died, there was a crisis, a civil war, that forever split the kingdom into two. The wealth kingdom, still called the kingdom. The southern kingdom called Judah. Now, at this time in history, neither one of those kingdoms was very faithful to God. But while the kingdom of Judah at least had some faithful followers of the Lord, even a few faithful kings throughout its history, the northern kingdom of Israel literally never had a single faithful king. God was constantly sending prophets, priests, teachers, trying to call them back to repentance and faith. Isaiah tells where God uses a particular illustration to help these Israelites understand their sin. He compares his relationship to them to that of one between a husband and wife. It's like a relationship between God and the Israelites. While God was perfectly faithful to Israel, faithfulness was not returned. The people of Israel constantly cheated on the Lord by worshiping other gods. Clearly, the illustration wasn't really working. Either the Israelites didn't get it, or like the coaches didn't. So, God commanded Hosea to set up He commands the prophet Hosea to get married to an actual prostitute in their community. I like that situation. Just imagine if something like that happened today. If a pastor got married to a prostitute just to show his congregation that they were being unfaithful to God. But that's actually not what the illustration is. See, Hosea and his new wife didn't have children together. God deserves the right to name his children. Good. First child is born as a son. God gives him the name Jezreel, which means God scatters. What did that mean? God is warning the people of Jesus' name that if they do not repent, if they do not return to Him, He is going to scatter and destroy them forever. Yeah, kind of depressing spoiler alert. That's actually what ended up happening. They didn't repent. God allowed for the Syrians to come and scatter and destroy them. That land later became Samaria. after having to Israel, time passes, and Hosea is twice another time. God's going to give her just this beautiful feminine name, Old Testament, of course, maybe Hannah, or Sarah, or Abigail. How about no mercy? That's right. God names this little girl no Ruhama, which in Hebrew literally translates to no mercy. What's the warning this time? Telling his people, I will not show mercy. He is going to kill and destroy his people. Now, at this point, I am begging Hosea, his wife, to stop having children. This is clear. God is declaring that the Israelites no longer exist. Why? Because they have abandoned him. The Israelites have been totally unfaithful to God. They really didn't deserve his mercy. They didn't deserve to be called his people. They deserved to be scattered and destroyed. This metaphor of God being trusted by Israel is carried forward like we heard in our Christmas. It's the metaphor of Christ being trusted by the church. We have all collectively as the church and individually as Christians been faithful to our husband. We have gone after other gods in this world. We prioritize ourselves and our own desires to the God. We break his law all the time. We neglect him. We even despise him. We deserve to hear the exact same message as those ancient Israelites. I, God Almighty, will scatter and destroy you. I will have no mercy for you. You are not my people. I am not my people. That he will redeem her. The promises that he will restore her faithfulness. The promises to forgive her for all of her infidelities. Even though she holds no love for him, God cares. He shows love to the others. As it turns out, his love for his people never really went away. Even as they cheated on him and left him in the dust, God kept him on the run. He loves you. The promises of mercy, of redemption, restoration, and forgiveness, they're not just for ancient Israelites over 2,000 years ago. They're for are you right here, right now? There's a little bit of prophecy. God said that he would scatter and destroy his people, and he said that he would show them no mercy, that they wouldn't even be his people. See the prayer? See what this dude? Verses 22 and 23 of our text, he returns to Isaiah's quote. Like I said earlier, Jezreel does mean to scatter, that God scatters, but it can also be translated God sows, sowing seeds. Here, God says he will sow her, that is Israel, into the ground. What do you mean by that? Consider this. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 36, St. Paul says, what you sow does not come to life, but to die. He makes this his own way. Paul is talking about plants. Specifically, he's talking about seeds. When you hold a seed in your hand, it appears dead, lifeless. It has to be sown in the ground. Seeds come to life. This illustration is actually a metaphor to resurrection from the dead. But in order for us all to rise, we must first, die. Why do we have to go through this whole process of dying just for raising it from the dead? Are we alive right now? Can we stay that way? Paul says in Romans chapter 6 that the wages of sin is death. We have to die as Christ and sin. The holy baptism of old Adam, our sinful nature, was drowned and died. We died to sin. And Christ, the good man, brothers and sisters, this is what God is doing in the first two chapters of Isaiah. Through his word, he is actually killing us. He is showing us our sin, our unfaithfulness, our evil, and is declaring that we deserve no mercy at all. And all that is true. So we die of sin. Through Christ, through the eyes of new life, we are so dead. Buried into the ground, grow into new life. Life in Christ is given us. The new creatures redeemed by Christ, we are restored. All this has already happened to us spiritually. Someday soon it will happen physically here. Christ will return in all his glory. All the dead to raise, newly created, restored bodies. On that day, what God has sown into the ground will bear glorious fruit. Those who experience no mercy in their lives, sting, pain, death, sin, will be shattered. It will roll on you. God will say to you, woe on you, not my people. You are my people. You will all respond right along with me. Lord, you are my people. Come soon, Lord Jesus. Days, restore, redeem, and pray your peace. Peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, knowledge, and hearts and minds of Christ Jesus our Lord.
Thank you.
is going to have to test you in God.
Thank you.
What is the second? person shoots and kills someone who has threatened their life, has a broken system that has been tried. What are the three offices of Christ? Jesus one. Christ one. Prophet is two. Even what does the word say to God? Person of the Trinity is known as our Savior. What do the words Messiah and Christ mean to us? What does the word mean? That is a tree. Our Father, Take a break, the breather, turn to him in 867, so you can hear the final verse. Thank you.
Thank you.
is this one that a little conversation would be and take the first step. So I asked Dave about that, and he said, "We just think about the new thank you. Watch So the other big thing that we talked about this year is the office of peace. We learned about how we can understand what pastors are, what they do. We also this year have had a great opportunity to talk to them about this year with us, learning what it means to be a pastor. So I guess let me just first ask you, why is it important? So, if someone's going to be doing that really important work, what kind of things would that call into the For the gift of divine peace and with heart, with all our hearts and with all our minds, let us pray to the Lord. For the Holy Christian Church, here and scattered throughout the world, with the proclamation of the gospel and calling of all to faith, let us pray to the Lord. For this nation, for our cities and communities, and for the common welfare of us all, let us pray to the Lord. For seasonable weather and for the fruitfulness of the earth, let us pray to the Lord. For those who labor, for those whose work is difficult, for dangerous, and for all who travel, let us pray to the Lord. For all those in need, for the hungry and homeless, for the widowed and orphans, and for all those in prison, let us pray to the Lord. For the sick and dying, and for all those who care for them, let us pray to the Lord. For all those who are on our congregation's prayer list, those who are in care facilities, including Bob, Greta, Kula, Tom, Jim, Betty, and Bert, for Nancy, who is recovering from her recent surgery, and those with ongoing health needs and concerns, especially Thomas, Lindsay, Andrea, Marvin, Amy, Vince, Francis, Brett, Jenny, Rodney, Henry, John, Bob, Kevin, and all those who are facing cancer. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Finally, for these and for all our needs, the body and soul, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The Almighty and merciful Lord, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless you and keep you. Amen. Our to make a closing hymn tonight, number 922, Go, My Children, Be My Blessing. Thank you. Over here. Chloe Hobbs. Hey, Chloe. Chloe's secret angel is Paige Baker. Paige Baker. Bella, you're next. Bella, your secret angel is Caitlin Stone. Caitlin Lucky. Your secret angel is Tina Hannenberger. Miss here, back there. Steven, your secret is Deb Holly. Parker Rollin, your secret angel is Lisa Rollin. Your secret angel is Carolyn Sumire. And finally, Jackson Sumire. Your secret angel is Thank you, secret angel. All right, guys, if we could please head out to the back and have a meeting with her. Everybody, congratulations. See you over at the gym. Go in peace. Serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you for joining us for church today. Have a blessed week.